This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, it's another 60 minutes of old-time radio, as we do every week. We're going to start off this time with Radio City Playhouse, an episode from July 3rd, 1948, titled Long Distance, and it's a quick believe-it-or-not titled Strange Death, before The Whistler and More Death, an episode titled Death and the Emperor. This episode first aired September 17th, 1947.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 1. Radio City Playhouse is a theater of the air that has been built to an extraordinarily simple design. In radio drama, there is no substitute for a fine story expertly told. So, if a script meets the highest standards of excellence, it may come from any writer, anywhere. So long as the performance is truly inspired, it may be given by any artist without regard to name or fame. We hope you'll listen each week to our new series, and if you feel like writing to us about our plays, we will deeply appreciate your comments. Now, here is Long Distance, Attraction 1 of Radio City Playhouse. Written and directed by a brilliant young newcomer to American radio, Harry W. Junkin, and starring Jan Miner as Mrs. Leon Jacks, who is seated at a telephone table in her home.
But, Warden, you don't understand. After all, you're the warden of the prison.
Mrs. Jacks, I can't just act on your say-so. You've left it too late. I'd like to help you.
Warden, try to understand. I've called the governor, but I can't get him. This letter proves that my husband didn't commit the murder. Why can't I make you see? My husband would never have been found guilty if we could have produced this letter at the trial.
Mrs. Jacks, we always have these telephone calls before an execution. I know how you feel. I'm terribly sorry for you, but there's nothing I can do. You didn't produce this letter at the trial.
I know we didn't produce it. That's what I'm telling you. I found it tonight, quite by accident, between the lining and the covering of my overnight bag. If we could have produced it at the trial, my husband would never have been... Well, the case would have been dismissed. Can't you understand that you're... that he's innocent? You're executing an innocent man.
But, Mrs. Jacks, I tell you, it's not in my power. I know how you feel. Believe me, I do. Telephone me half an hour before an execution and start talking about some letter you found. I just can't do it, Mrs. Jacks. It's something that's out of my hands. I don't have the proper authority.
Oh, you're so stupid. I tell you, this letter changes everything. At least you can delay the execution for 24 hours until you've investigated. You can't kill him, I tell you. It's monstrous, wicked.
Mrs. Jacks, believe me, I can't do anything
for you.
Well,
then who can? There must be somebody that...
The governor's the only man in New York State who can stay an execution.
But I tell you, I called him. He's out of town. The lieutenant governor's out of town. Everyone's out of town. And it's only half an hour until it...
Mrs. Jacks, believe me, I'd like to help you,
but
you
can't do it, I tell you. You can't. He's innocent. This letter proves he's innocent.
Mrs. Jacks, tell me, who is the appeal judge?
McLean. Judge McLean.
Uh-huh. Well, under the circumstances, well, I mean, naturally, we want to be just. If you can get Judge McLean to phone me here at the prison, I'll delay the execution 24 hours.
You will...
Judge McLean is the only man who can help you. I'm sorry.
All right, thanks. I'll call him. M.C. McLean. McLean. McLean, here it is. J. Judge John C., Eldorado 50599. Eldorado 50599. E. L. 5. 2. 5. 9. 9. Please, God, let him be in. Answer. Oh, answer, why don't you?
Hello?
Is Judge McLean there, please?
I'm sorry, he's not. He's out of town.
Out of town?
This is Mrs. McLean speaking. May I take a message?
Where is he?
Well, he went to San Francisco the day before yesterday. Who is speaking?
San Francisco? You mean he's on a train somewhere?
No, he flew out. Who is this speaking?
Mrs. McLean. It's Mrs. Leon Jacks speaking. Mrs. Leon Jacks.
Oh.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, yes, yes, I know.
Mrs. McLean, you've got to help me. I don't know if you remember at the trial, there was a lot of talk about a letter which never turned up. We couldn't produce the letter that would prove my husband was in Canada on Armistice Day and couldn't have committed the murder. I've never given up looking for it, and tonight I found it quite by accident. It had slipped down between the lining and the covering of my overnight bag. I knocked the bag down off a shelf and it sprung open and the letter fell out. And are you listening?
Yes. Yes, I'm listening.
Well, I phoned the prison. For a moment, I was so stunned. Anyway, I phoned the prison, and they told me that Judge McLean was the only man who could stop them from killing Leon. If I could just talk to Judge McLean, I mean, he'd recognize at once the importance of my finding this letter. The man at the prison doesn't understand the whole prosecution rested on the fact that we couldn't produce the letter at the trial.
Mr. Jacks, when is the execution?
In a little over 20 minutes. I've never given up. That's why I'm not at the prison with Leon. I've never stopped working, trying to prove his innocence. I just got back from Canada tonight and was going out to be with him with me. And then I found it. Mrs. McLean, I've got to talk to your husband.
Mrs. Jacks, phone him in San Francisco. He's at the Golden State Hotel.
Golden State Hotel.
He always stays there. I'm sure you can reach him.
Oh, all right. I'll try. Thanks.
And please let me know if there's anything else
yes,
I can do.
Yes, thank you.
I know it'll be all right. Yes. I just know it
thank
will
Thank you. Goodbye. One. Long distance.
Long distance.
Long distance. I want to call San Francisco, the Golden State Hotel, Judge J.C. McLean.
Judge J.C. McLean.
That's right.
Is that M.C. capital L-E-A-N?
That's right.
Golden State Hotel, San Francisco?
Yes, operator.
And what is your number, madam?
It's Region 4, 9970.
Region 4, 9970?
Yes, operator.
And your name, madam?
Mrs. Leon Jacks, J-A-C-K-S.
Thank you, madam. I will call you.
Operator, this is a very important call. How long will you be?
The circuits are busy, madam. I will call
But how long will it take?
It's hard to say, madam. I'll call you as soon as I
operator,
can.
Operator, I have to know how long this call will take. It's very urgent. It's very urgent.
The circuits are busy west of Chicago, madam. There are several calls ahead of yours. I'll put it through as quickly as possible.
Let me speak to the chief operator, please.
Yes, madam. Just a moment, please.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, I'm calling San Francisco on a very urgent matter, and I've got to get through as quickly as possible.
Whom do you wish to call in San Francisco?
Operator,
madam?
You don't understand. I gave all that information to the other operator. She said the circuits were busy. I just wanted to tell you why it was so important that my call be put through at once.
Yes, madam.
My name is Jacks. Mrs. Jacks. My husband is Leon Jacks.
And your phone number, madam?
Oh, what difference? It's Regent 49970, but operator, the
Regent
important...
Regent 49970?
Yes. Operator, my husband, I don't know whether you read the papers or not, but my husband is being executed tonight for murder, for a murder that he didn't commit. Do you understand that?
Yes, madam.
Well, this man in San Francisco is the only one who can stop the execution. I've uncovered, quite by accident, I've uncovered new evidence. I've got to speak to Judge McLean quickly because the execution is, well, it's in 20 minutes, less than that now, and he's the only man that can make them stop. Operator... It's a matter of a man's life. Do you understand that?
I will see that your call is put through as quickly as possible.
Ahead of the others?
I'll do the best I can, madam.
Well, may I hold the line?
I'll call you, madam.
Oh, all right. But hurry, operator. Hurry. Please, God. Let him be near a telephone. Don't let him be out. Please, God. Fifteen minutes more. God, help me. Please. Please, God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, God, don't let them kill Leon. He didn't do it. You know he didn't do it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Leon never hurt anybody in his life. Please, God, let him. Save him. Oh, God, I love him so. Hello?
Your call to San Francisco, madam, for Judge J.C. McLean.
Yes, yes, have you got him?
There is no Mr. McLean. I mean, no Judge McLean registered at the Golden State Hotel.
But, operator, he must be registered. His wife said he always stayed there.
Just a moment, madam. I'll check them again. Hello, operator.
Yes, operator?
Would you check that name again, please? J.C. McLean. My party is sure that Judge McLean is registered.
They have no Judge McLean, operator. They have a Mr. McLean in 701 from Toledo, Ohio. That's the only McLean registered.
Operator.
Yes, madam.
That must be the right McLean. His wife told me just a minute ago that he was there. He always stays at the Golden State Hotel. Please, have them check it again. And hurry, operator.
Just a moment, madam. Hello, operator.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what are you doing, operator?
Hello, operator. This is New York on circuit 412. Is it clear?
Oh, please.
Hello?
Hello, New York.
Operator, would you connect me with the room clerk of the Golden State Hotel, please? This is an urgent call.
Right.
Oh, hurry. Hurry. What on earth are they doing?
Just a moment, sir. Oh. Hello, room clerk.
Hello, sir. This is New York calling a Judge J.C. McLean. I believe you have a Mr. McLean registered from Toledo.
What is the name again, operator?
McLean. M-C, capital L-E-A-N.
That's right, operator. Room 701.
This is an urgent call, sir. Are you sure that he is not Judge J.C. McLean of New York City?
No, operator. Mr. McLean is from Toledo, all right. He stays here frequently.
Operator.
Just a moment, sir. Yes, madam.
Operator, can you find out if they sent Judge McLean to another hotel? He should have arrived sometime yesterday.
Just a moment, madam. Hello, sir.
Yes, operator.
Sir, can you tell me if the hotel has any record of... I want to try and trace Judge McLean. If he applied for a room yesterday and you sent him to another hotel, would there be any record of that?
Well, what do you have a reservation, operator?
Just a moment, sir. Did Judge McLean have a reservation, madam?
Oh, I don't know whether he had a reservation or not. I thought if the hotel was full and they'd send him someplace else, they might know where, that's all.
Hello, sir.
Yes, operator?
My party doesn't know whether Judge McLean had a reservation or not.
No, he didn't, operator. I have the reservation list here. There's nothing for Judge McLean.
Is there any way we can locate Judge McLean that you know of, sir? The call is urgent.
Urgent? It's a matter of life and death. What are they doing? Hello? Hello? Operator! Oh, what's the matter? Why don't you answer me?
Sorry, madam. There seems to be no way of tracing your party.
Oh, operator, what can I do? I've just got to find him.
In case Judge McLean does register at the Golden State, madam, I can try in 20 minutes.
20 minutes? But I told you that... Oh, never mind. Let it go.
You wish the call canceled, madam?
Yes. Yes.
Good evening, Brent Theater.
Oh, no! Oh, dear, dear God, help me. McLean, Eldorado, 50599. No. 5599.
Hello?
Mrs. McLean, it's Mrs. Jax again. I can't locate your husband. He's not at the hotel, not registered even. Is there any place else, any other hotel where he might be?
Yes. Try my sister.
Sister?
It's Mrs. D.C. Hilda, Cypress Drive. That's C-Y-P-R-U-S Drive, Oakland.
D.C. Hilda, Cypress Drive. All right, thanks.
If he isn't there, she'll know where he is. I can't understand why he isn't at the hotel. He always...
Thanks, Mrs. McLean. I have to hurry. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Long distance.
Let me speak to the chief operator, please.
Thank you, madam. Just a moment, please.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, it's Mrs. Jacks again. I have a call to San Francisco again. I mean, I want to put it through again. I mean, it's Oakland.
Yes, madam.
It's to Mrs. D.C. Elder. Cypress Drive, Oakland.
D.C. Elder. Is that C-Y-P-R-E-S?
U.S., operator.
C-Y-P-R-U-S. Cypress Drive.
That's right. And hurry, operator. Please.
Yes, madam. Hold the line, please.
Chicago.
New York calling Oakland, operator.
Right. The circuits are busy, operator.
Will you ring the operator?
Just a moment, operator. I can take it now.
Oakland.
Information, please, operator.
Right. Information.
Operator, the number of Mrs. D.C. Elder, Cypress Drive. New York calling.
Elder. Just a moment, operator.
Right.
I have a D.C. Elder, 1138 Cypress Drive, Montclair Highlands. The number is Lakehurst 39136.
Lakehurst 39136.
Right.
Thank you, operator.
Operator.
Lakehurst 39136. New York calling, operator.
Lakehurst 39136.
Mrs. D.C. Elder.
Mrs. D.C. Elder.
Right. You're still calling from Regent 9490.
No, no.
Pardon me. Regent 49970.
That's right, operator, and please hurry. What are they doing? Hello? Operator, what are they... Operator, answer me!
We are ringing Lakers 39136 for you, madam.
Oh, God, please. There's less than 10 minutes left. Why don't they answer?
Hello, operator. Lakers 39136 is DA, operator.
Right, operator. Hello, madam. They do not answer, I'm sorry. Shall I try them again in 20 minutes?
No, I told you, you're stupid! Oh, what's the use? I won't give up. I'll get him. I'll get him if I have to... McLean.
Yes.
I'm nearly out of my mind. Your sister's number doesn't answer. Mrs. McLean, is there nothing I can do?
Oh, Mrs. Jacks, I'm so sorry. They're probably all out to dinner or cocktails or something. They're 3 or 4 hours behind our time out there, aren't they?
Mrs. McLean, what can I do?
There must be somebody else you can phone here. Surely they wouldn't go ahead with the execution if there were any reasonable doubt of, well, if there was any new evidence.
I've been all through that, Mrs. McLean. I've tried to get the governor, but, oh, what's the use? The prison authority said your husband was the only one who... I'm nearly out of my mind. I can't...
Mrs. Jackson, Mike and his very dear friends, they live right across the street. It's just possible they might all be over there. The name is Henderson. I think it's Robert. Yes, that's right. Robert Henderson.
Henderson?
On Cypress Drive. You phone them. In the meantime, I'll phone the governor's office in Albany and see...
Henderson?
That's right.
All right, I'll try. 2-1.
Long distance.
The chief operator, please, and hurry.
Yes, madam.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, this is Mrs. Jacks again. Operator, see how quickly you can get me San Francisco again. I mean, Oakland. Robert Henderson. No, it's Mrs. Robert Henderson. Cypress Drive again, Oakland.
Mrs. Robert Henderson. Cypress Drive, Oakland.
Why do you repeat everything? Yes, that's right. And hurry, operator, hurry.
Chicago.
New York calling Oakland, operator.
Right. Hold the line, operator.
Can't you tell him to hurry, operator? There's less than 10 minutes left. I've told you how urgent this call is, operator. Can't they hurry it up or something?
We're putting your call through as quickly as possible, madam.
Oakland.
Information, please, operator.
Right. Information.
New York calling, operator. The number of Mrs. Robert Henderson, Cypress Drive.
Henderson. On Cypress Drive, operator?
Yes, operator.
I have a Robert L. Henderson on Crestwood Road, operator.
Oh, for goodness sakes, how can you be so stupid? It's on Cypress Drive. They're right across the street from my friend's sister. Now, you must have them listed.
Hello, operator.
Yes, operator.
Operator, Crasswood Road and Cypress Drive intersect. The houses might be like kitty corner from each other and yet beyond different...
Yes, yes, that's it. Ring them and hurry, operator.
What is the Crasswood Road number, operator?
That number is Lakehurst 3, 8197.
Right.
Operator.
Lakehurst 3, 8197. New York calling, operator.
Lakehurst 3, 8197.
Mrs. Robert Henderson.
Mrs. Robert Henderson.
Right. Are you still calling from Region 4, 9970?
Of course I'm still calling from Region 4, 9970. For goodness sake, stop asking me stupid questions. Don't you understand that I'm trying to save a man's life? Why don't they answer? God, please make them answer. There's only 8 minutes left before...
Hello?
Hello, sir. New York calling. Mrs. Robert Henderson, please.
Well, she's not in at the moment. This is Mr. Henderson speaking.
He'll do, operator. He'll do.
Very well, madam. Go ahead, please.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Mr. Henderson, I can't go into a long story. Do you know Judge McLean? I believe his wife's sister lives across the street from you. It's very urgent that I contact Judge McLean at once.
Yes, I know Judge McLean. I drove him to the railway station this morning.
What?
Yes, he caught the Southern Pacific West Coast Limited for Portland this morning.
Oh, Mr. Henderson, I'm in terrible trouble. I've got to locate Judge McLean.
Well, I don't see how you can. He took the train at 10 this morning.
Mr. Henderson, my husband is... He's being executed tonight for murder.
Oh.
A murder he didn't commit. Judge McLean was the judge. I found it. There was a letter we couldn't find all during the trial, and I found it tonight quite by accident, and they told me at the prison that Judge McLean was the only man who could get them to put off the execution. If I don't get Judge McLean, they're going to kill me, aren't
they? Well, that's awful.
Oh, I'm almost sick. I can't talk right now. Do you understand me? Do you?
Yes, 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 I understand. Wait a minute, let me think.
What'll I do? Oh, God, help me. I love him so much. I'll die of him. Please.
What's your name?
Jax. Mrs. Leon Jax.
Listen, Mrs. Jax, you might get Judge McLean at Dunsmuir. That's a town along the line. He phoned some friend to meet him there at the station. The train stops for 15 minutes. It's 20 minutes past 6 here now. The train arrived at Dunsmuir at 6:15. It'll be there now.
Oh, it's no use. I'll never get it.
Try it. Dunsmuir is a small station. The train will be in there now. It's worth a chance.
Dunsmuir?
D-U-N-S-M-U-I-R. The West Coast Limited is the train. And it's Dunsmuir, California. Try it. There is a chance.
All right. Hang up quickly and thanks.
Have you finished, madam?
Is that... The Oakland operator?
Yes, ma'am.
Operator, you may not be able to do this. A man's life just ends. But... Operator, can you get me the railroad station at Dunsmuir, California? The depot.
I can connect you with the Dunsmuir operator, madam. Just a moment, please.
Dunsmuir?
Oakland calling, operator. I have an urgent call here from New York City. Can you connect me with the railway station?
Yes, operator. The number is 395.
Can you connect me, operator?
Yes, operator. Just a minute.
Will you just talk to anyone there?
Yes, yes, anyone, anyone. Oh, God. If you've got to help anyone, help me now. Leon's only got 3 minutes left. Die.
Depot.
Hello, sir. New York calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hello. Who's this?
Is there a train in there now, the West Coast Limited?
What? Who's this?
Listen, whoever you are, listen. This is a terribly urgent call. I've got to locate a man who's on the... Did the West Coast Limited just come in there to Portland?
The West Coast Limited is here now, madam. Just came in. Leaves again in 9 minutes.
Listen.
Next stop.
There's a Judge McLean. Have you got that, McLean?
McLean? Judge McLean, yes.
He's on that train. I mean, he's in a station somewhere. He was meeting a friend of his who lives in Dunsmuir. Listen, if you can get Judge McLean to this phone, I'll give you $1,000.
What was that, lady? What's that, about $1,000?
Well, listen to me. McLean, have you got that?
Yes, you said that.
Judge McLean.
Yes, Judge McLean.
Tell him he say that a letter... Tell him his wife's been killed. Get him!
Okay, lady. Okay, I'll try. Judge McLean. Urgent call for Judge McLean. Judge McLean. Judge
McLean. Oh, hurry. What are you doing? Leon, it's too late. They've started to... It's too late. They've killed you. They've done it. Oh, God, make them wait just a little longer. Please, God, make them wait. Don't let them do it. Just 5 minutes more, God. Make the clock slow, God, anything. The same.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Judge McLean?
Yes, this is Judge McLean. Who is it? Where's my wife?
Judge McLean, there's nothing wrong with your wife. This is Mrs. Leon Jacks, Judge. Judge, I found the letter. You know the letter? The one we couldn't find at the trial at Bruce Leon and Hilliard were in Montreal that night. You know.
The letter. Yes, you
listen, Judge. They're executing Leon tonight, right now. It may even be too late. You know what this letter means? The whole prosecution rested on the fact that we couldn't produce it. Well, I found it tonight, quite by accident, do you understand? It proves Leon is innocent. Do you understand?
Of course I understand. What time was the execution?
Now. They're doing it right now. It's very moment.
Get off the phone. I'll call the prison at once. Get off the phone.
Oh, it's too late. They've done it. And I killed him. I should have found him before. Oh, Leon. Leon. I should have found him before. Oh, Leon. Leon. Tell me, I know. You killed him. You killed the only man I am. Stop! Stop it! Stop it! Hello.
Just heard Long Distance, Attraction 1, Radio City Playhouse, as written and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Jan Miner was heard in the exacting role of Mrs. Leon Jacks. Other players included Anna Karen, Eugene Francis, Gene Tatum, and Frank Thomas. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonald. Next week, Ground Floor Window, a tender and appealing story about a young boy and the heartbreaking challenge that came to haunt his life. It was written by a brilliant young American author, Ernest Kenoy, from whom we expect more great things. We warmly invite you to listen to Ground Floor Window next week, Attraction 2, Radio City Playhouse. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not. Larry Lingle, age 17 months, of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, swallowed a nickel and coughed up a penny. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a strange death. In 1893, Henry Zigland jilted his sweetheart, who then killed herself. Her brother tried to avenge her by shooting Zigland, but the bullet only grazed his face and buried itself in a tree. The brother, thinking he'd killed Zigland, committed suicide. 20 years later, Zigland was cutting down the tree with a bullet in it. It was a tough job, so he used dynamite, and the explosion sent the old bullet through his head, killing him. Believe it or not.
That whistle is your invitation to listen to the Household Finance Corporation program, The Whistler. And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. Yes, it's time again for The Whistler, brought to you by the 423 branch offices of Household Finance Corporation throughout the United States and Canada. You know, friends, at some time or other, almost everybody is faced with a money problem. Perhaps many of you listening right now need some extra cash to meet an emergency, to pay overdue bills, or for any worthwhile purpose. Well, no matter who you are, what your job, or where you live, HFC, Household Finance Corporation, can provide you with the money you need when you need it. And now, The Whistler's strange story, Death and the Emperor.
Timothy Murdoch was in excellent spirits. As he stepped into his car for the drive down to New Jersey, he was whistling and happy, glowing at the prospect of the deal he was about to consummate in favor of Splendid Emperor Pet Food. Splendid Emperor. There was magic in the name, selling magic. And there was good reason. Only a few days before, the National Cat Show, mecca of the nation's thoroughbred cat fanciers, had reached its moment of climax. Champions in every class had been awarded their blue ribbons. And now the crowd of trainers, owners, and spectators awaited the most important decision of all.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. The judges have conferred, and their choice of grand champion of the show will be announced in a moment.
Grand champion, a coveted title. But to Edith Elsmer, standing close to the cage of a huge white Persian, with eyes as clear and blue as chunks of frozen sky, there was little doubt as to which animal would win. Edith was proud of Splendid Emperor, thrilled at the thought of her own tireless contributions to his success. But Edith Elsmer was also bitter, hurt and angry as she listened to those familiar words tumbling from the loudspeaker.
By unanimous decision of the judges, the grand championship is awarded for the fourth consecutive year to Splendid Emperor, white male Persian, owned and bred by Mrs. Margaret Cole of Meadow Hill, New Jersey.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you, I'm sure. Oh. Well, Edith, I've won it again.
Congratulations, Mrs. Cole.
I must say I'm not at all surprised by the judge's decision. It's no more than I expected. What's the matter, my dear? You don't seem very pleased.
Of course I'm pleased, Mrs. Cole. I'm delighted.
Mrs. Cole, let me congratulate you. Four times winner of the Grand Championship. Why, it's never been duplicated in the history of the association.
Oh, thank you.
Take skill, Mrs. Cole. More than that, the breeding of fine cats requires true artistry. And to win four grand championships, well, that takes genius.
Here now, you make me conceited, Mr.
Murdoch.
Mr. Murdoch.
Timothy Murdoch, president of Murdoch Processed Foods. If you can spare it, Mrs. Cole, I'd like a few minutes of your time on a matter of business.
Business with me?
Indeed. I have a proposition that should be profitable for both of us. You see, my firm is launching a new brand of prepared pet food.
Oh?
We need a name for our product. A magic name, like Splendid Emperor.
You mean you'd like to call your product Splendid Emperor?
Exactly. And we're prepared to pay you well for the privilege. Say, $5,000 a year?
Well, $5,000?
And furthermore, we'd like to put out a pamphlet on the breeding and grooming of fine cats. If you would write the booklet for us, perhaps for another $2,000?
Well, I
hope that you're interested in this proposition, Mrs. Cole, if there's anything...
Interested?
That...
Oh, yes, indeed.
Fine, fine. I'll have my lawyers draw up the necessary contracts. Nice to talk to you, Mrs. Cole. You'll hear from me soon. Good day.
Good day, Mr. Murdoch. Edith, did you hear what he said? $5,000 a year for the use of the Emperor's name.
Yes, Mrs. Cole. I heard.
And the booklet, with me as the author. The Care and Breeding of Thoroughbred Cats by Mrs. Margaret Cole. Why, I'll be famous, Edith. Famous.
Really, no more than you deserve. Is it, Mrs. Cole?
You couldn't resist saying that, could you, Edith? Because in spite of the praise and attention showered on your employer, you know that without your efforts, the Emperor would not have been 4 times champion. And that's why your feelings flare into the open that evening as the long black sedan takes you and Mrs. Cole home to New Jersey, to the sprawling green acres and the white picket fences of Meadow Hill Estate.
Edith, I've been thinking about that booklet Mr. Murdoch wants me to write.
Yes?
It's a wonderful opportunity to set my theory down on paper. And I could write it easily enough, but, well, it would be such a bother,
and I thought... And so you want me to write it for you, Mrs. Cole?
Now, that's exactly what I had in mind, my dear. It would only take you a day or two. And...
If I do write it, will my name appear as the author?
Why, Edith.
Well, then, co-author.
My dear girl, you surprise me. I'm pained by your ingratitude.
I don't see what I have to be grateful about. And I don't see why you should bring that up at all.
You don't. I've told you again and again that when I die, you shall inherit the houses, the cats, and almost everything that I own. That's why I'm hurt, Edith. To think that you should react like this when I ask a small favor.
Oh, all right. If you insist on having me write the booklet, I'll do it.
I don't insist on anything. Never mind, Edith. I'll write it myself. And I dare say I'll do a better job of it than you might, my dear. After all, the Emperor is my cat.
Well, Edith, a dozen angry answers to Mrs. Cole are racing through your brain, but suddenly you realize you can't afford a real breach with Mrs. Cole. That all your work, all your subservience has been directed to one end. Someday you'll be mistress of Meadow Hill and all it stands for. And for that, you'll accept almost anything. So, when you arrive at Meadow Hill, you go about your accustomed duties. But when it's time to bed Splendid Emperor down for the night, the great white Persian has disappeared. You search frantically and then hurry to the little cottage, occupied by Martin Hawthorne, the caretaker.
Martin! Martin, open up!
Just a minute. Well, Miss Edith, come down to see if I'm comfortable in my little abode?
Certainly not. The Emperor's missing. I wondered if you'd seen.
Oh. I'm still playing second fiddle to that cat, huh?
I asked if you'd seen him, Martin. That's all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess it is. Why don't you try looking in the kitchen?
The kitchen?
I saw him there a few minutes ago. Why are you unpacking the car?
Why didn't you say so in the first place?
I guess I was thinking of something else.
Don't be insolent, Martin.
All right, okay. But down at the bottom of that heart of yours, you know you love it.
You turn from him, rush back to the main house and into the kitchen. You stop short as you see the Splendid Emperor. You're startled at where he's standing.
Emperor, come down from there. Come down off the stove. Do you hear? Get off there. Come here.
And suddenly your pent-up frustration bursts forth again. You step toward him, slap out at him.
Jesus. Mrs. Cole.
Are you out of your mind?
I didn't see you standing.
You didn't see me indeed. How dare you, Edith? How dare you slap the Emperor?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Cole. I lost my...
And your temper. This is the end of it, Edith. The end. I will not permit my cats to be mishandled. You can pack your things in the morning.
What do you mean?
Simply that I no longer want you in my employ.
You're discharging me?
Exactly.
But you can't do that.
No.
After all the years I've worked for you, it's not fair.
I'll be the judge of that.
No. You can't rule my life like I'm a puppet on a string. You haven't any right.
I am not asking to rule you, Edith. I told you that you're free to go.
Please, Mrs. Cole. I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong.
You've been acting badly. You do know that.
Yes, perhaps it's because of the strain I've been under, getting the Emperor groomed for the show and all.
You groomed the Emperor?
Well, I like that.
Well,
I didn't mean it that way, Mrs. Cole. Of course, you did most of the work.
Nerves, my dear, are a luxury one cannot afford when dealing with thoroughbred cats. Go on now. Take the Emperor and handle him gently. He means more to me than...
I understand, Mrs. Cole.
It was a frightening moment, wasn't it, Edith? And as you go back to your room, you hope that it's really over. That Mrs. Cole realizes her inadequacy. Knows you must remain at Meadow Hill if her book that is to be written. The next day, you start out of the house to attend to the morning feeding. Mrs. Cole's voice reaches you as you pass the study. Stops you in the hall.
Hello? Universal Employment Agency? This is Mrs. Margaret Cole of Meadow Hill, New Jersey. Yes, I want to hire someone who's experienced in the care and breeding of Persian cats. Persian? Yes, that's right. I'll need someone with considerable knowledge of the subject. I may need help in preparing a booklet. Yes. Yes, the first of the month will be time enough. If you'll just call me before you...
You walk on, almost unable to think. In the shed where the stores are kept, you sort the cat food mechanically, moving about in a day's routine. So it was only a reprieve, Edith. The first of the month is just 2 weeks away, and then you're through. That is, unless you can think of some way to prevent Mrs. Cole from dismissing you, killing outright your dream of one day becoming mistress of Meadow Hill Estate. There has to be a way, Edith, some way.
What is it, Edith?
Martin.
Now, don't turn away. What were you staring at there on the shelf? Was it the rat poison?
You shouldn't come sneaking up behind a person without...
I didn't want to interrupt your thoughts, but... You know, you're a fascinating woman, Edith. I've always thought that behind that sober face, there lurked a matter, Harry.
Martin, someday you'll go too far.
Perhaps. But you know, Edith, somehow, watching you just now, I couldn't help thinking that in a pinch... You'd go even farther than I would.
You have just heard the prologue of Death and the Emperor, another strange tale by the Whistler, brought to you by the Household Finance Corporation. There comes a time in everyone's life. Familiar words, aren't they? Yes, friends, and there comes a time in almost everyone's life when extra money is needed. Money to meet a sudden emergency. Money to pay overdue bills, doctor or dentist bills, unusual seasonal expenses. And there's always the tax bill. Well, I would like to suggest a simple solution to your money problem. HFC, Household Finance Corporation. Household Finance and its 423 branch offices, there's one conveniently located near your home, is in the business of providing the extra money you need when you need it. At Household Finance, you may borrow the money you need and select the payment plan that suits you best. Service at Household is prompt and courteous. And remember, HFC means Household Finance Corporation. Money when you need it. And now, back to... The Whistler.
So now you know what you're going to do with. You weren't sure of yourself when you heard Mrs. Cole calling the employment agency, hiring someone else. But in that instant in the storage shed, when Martin caught you staring at the rat poison, your mind was really made up, wasn't it? You had decided to murder Mrs. Cole. You've already dismissed the poison idea. That would be too cruel. And it might bring on suspicion by Martin. You'll have to find another way. Strangely enough, it's Mrs. Cole herself who provides the solution.
Edith,
Aren't you watching the Emperor? Look at him.
What? Oh, he's up on the stove again.
Well, what's got into him? What does he do that for?
It's a habit he's formed lately.
I don't like it. It's dangerous.
Dangerous?
Certainly. Jumping up there, he could turn on the gas jets accidentally. Asphyxiated.
Oh, no.
My dear girl, don't argue with me. Why, with the back stairs leading right up to the bedrooms, it's quite possible.
At that moment, the plan began to take shape in your mind. But there was something you had to know. What attracted Splendid Emperor to the gas stove? It's after Mrs. Cole leaves the room and you start to lift the big cat down that you make a discovery.
Come on now. Down, Emperor.
What are you after up here, anyway?
You think... Why, the catnip bag. I hung it back there myself.
So that's it.
Yes, Edith. The catnip bag, hanging half-concealed on a nail in back of the stove. That's what does it. But now there should be someone else who knows of the big cat's odd habits. It's a simple matter for you to get Martin into the kitchen. He hurries across the garden the moment you call.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're suffering from loneliness.
No, from annoyance. Look at the Emperor up there on the stove.
What about it?
He keeps jumping up there, Martin. It worries me.
He's a sensitive character. He won't get burned.
I don't mean that. Those gas jet handles, they turn so easily. Supposing he jumps up there someday and asphyxiates it.
You're dead too, Tom, kind of easy. You're right, my love. There's danger there. Somebody might sleep the deep sleep.
Oh, it's no joking matter. I want you to tighten those handles, Martin.
Oh, sure. You know, Edith, it'd be kind of cozy, two of us working around this kitchen here.
Martin, I...
Well, I do believe my charms begin to have an effect on you.
Your charms, as you prefer to call them, Martin, have nothing to do with it. I was merely trying to say that I don't want you around while I'm getting dinner. You can attend to the jet handles first thing in the morning.
That glib tongue of Martin's has a way of upsetting you, hasn't it, Edith? But you were careful to use just the right tone of reproach. And now you have your witness and you're ready for the final move. That comes very late after you've all retired. Mrs. Cole is sleeping soundly when you steal into her bedroom and close the window very softly. Then you go down to the kitchen, turn the handles of two of the gas jets. You wait on the stairs until the house begins to reek with fumes, listening for a sound of stirring upstairs or for footsteps approaching the house, hearing only the furious beating of your own pulses. Once you nearly lose your courage and a warning scream forms on your lips. But you fight it back. And instead you scoop up Splendid Emperor and go outside. It's hours later when you run stumbling to Martin Hawthorne's cottage.
Martin, open the door. Oh, Martin, hurry, try to save her.
What's wrong, Edith? What's happened?
Mrs. Cole, she's still in the house. I couldn't wake her. Martin, the gas. Huh? The Emperor turned on the gas.
Miss Elsmer, I know from what Mr. Hawthorne here has told me that you've been terribly shocked by what happened last night. There are some questions I'd like answered.
Whatever you want, dear. Poor Mrs. Colt. She was so kind. So good.
About the windows, was Mrs. Colt in the habit of sleeping with them closed?
Not usually, but the night was chilly.
Yeah, it wasn't that. Now, you say the cat was in the habit of jumping up on the gas stove?
That's right.
That's mighty peculiar.
Sheriff, I don't know why the cat liked to get up here, but he did. Martin noticed it, too.
Right, Sheriff. Miss Edith called my attention to it. The feds thought it was dangerous, that the jets ought to be tightened. Shouldn't have put it off again.
Yeah. Well, that ought to do for now. Thanks very much.
You accompany the sheriff to the door. Thank him for being so considerate, and for the first time, you're able to get control of your nerves. But late that afternoon, the sheriff returns, and your pulses leap again to the knowledge that something's wrong. And as he brings you and Martin in the study, you clutch your hands together, afraid their trembling might betray you.
All right, sit down, both of you. Might as well tell you I'm convinced something's wrong with this whole setup, and I intend to get to the bottom of it.
Well, what do you mean, Sheriff?
I've been doing some work around town, Miss Elsma. Had a talk with Mr. Ives, the lawyer for Mrs. Cole's estate.
Yes?
He told me the terms of her will. You inherit practically everything. You knew that, of course.
Of course, I've been a very faithful assistant to Mrs. Cole for years.
Yeah, but that was all over.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, I checked on the phone calls out of here. Mrs. Cole called the Universal Employment Agency yesterday. The man at the agency says she wanted to hire someone to replace you. You knew that. You knew it meant the will would be changed.
No, I...
Oh, wait a minute, Sheriff.
I'll get to you in a minute.
You'll get to me now. I resent the insinuations you're making about Miss Elsmer, but that's beside the point. The point is that this was accidental death. Every evidence points to the fact that the cat turned on those jets.
I have Miss Elsmer's testimony for that.
Miss Elsmer's, yes, and mine.
I was waiting for that. Point number three that I learned in my investigation in town. At least a dozen people told me that you, Martin, and Edith here are in love with each other.
That isn't true. That's the most outrageous lie. Martin, tell him.
I say. All right, Sheriff. It's true. I am in love with Edith Elsmer. The feeling's all mine. Edith has never, even a word or a glance, given me the slightest encouragement. You're trying to prove there's conspiracy.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of what I think was a murder in cold blood.
I won't listen to this. I won't stay here. Sheriff, wait. You're saying you don't believe that Splendid Emperor got up on that stove. Is that it?
Yes, that's exactly it.
I see. Well, in that case, I'll ask you to step over here, Sheriff. Look through the kitchen door.
Well, I'll be hanged.
The cat is on...
Yes, Splendid Emperor. Up on the stove, Sheriff. Now, do you want to make any more insinuations?
No, I owe you an apology, Miss Elsmer. And I give it gladly. It seemed like such a fool thing for a cat to do.
Your own eyes, Sheriff.
Yeah, my own eyes. I'll be testifying at the inquest, Miss Elsmer. I'll tell him, of course, that it was an accident. No hard feelings.
No, sir. No hard feelings.
So a fortune at last played it your way. By the chance jump of a cat, you've traded disaster for everything you've always wanted. Meadow Hill, Splendid Emperor, perhaps even Martin. When Mr. Murdoch phones later in the day to announce that the contracts are ready for Mrs. Cole's signature, you tell him the bad news.
Yes, Mr. Murdoch. And so now I own Splendid Emperor.
I see. Of course, Miss Elsmer, I'm as shocked as you are about Mrs. Cole's death. However, I'm prepared to offer you the same proposition we made Mrs. Cole. $5,000 a year for the name, $2,000 more to write that booklet.
I think your offer's very fair, Mr. Murdoch. And I accept.
Good, good.
I particularly want to write that booklet for you.
Fine, Miss Elsmer. I was wondering, would it be too soon if I drove down with the contracts in the morning?
No. That'll be all right, Mr. Murdoch. You may come ahead.
Thank you very much. I'll see you there. Goodbye, Miss Elsmer.
Goodbye, Mr. Murdoch. Oh, come up here, Emperor. Splendid Emperor. Up in my lap. Oh, there's a lot ahead for us, Emperor. For you and me.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. Now, we'd like to introduce a gentleman standing by in your community to speak on behalf of your own household finance representative.
Hello,
Timothy Murdoch was a very happy man as he turned into Meadowhill Estate. He was pleased at the arrangements he was about to complete with Edith Elsner. She had sounded so cooperative over the phone, so willing to accept the same terms he'd agreed upon with Mrs. Cole for the use of the name Splendid Emperor on Mr. Murdoch's catchphrase. As he left the car and stepped up onto the porch, Mr. Murdoch allowed his shoulders to sag slightly. He removed his hat, assumed a solemn air in deference to the late Mrs. Cole. Then, as he reached to press the door buzzer.
Hey, huh? Won't do you any good to ring, mister.
Why, I don't understand. I'm calling on Miss Elsmer. I have an appointment.
I'm afraid Miss Elsmer won't be keeping any appointments. Apparently, you haven't heard what's happened here.
Oh, yes, I have. Terrible tragedy, terrible. Poor Mrs. Cole.
I'm not talking about Mrs. Cole. It's Miss Elsmer that's the real tragedy.
Miss Elsmer?
Yes. She died practically the same way.
What?
Fell asleep in a chair. Cat jumped up on the stove. We found out he was after a catnip bag someone forgot and left hanging there.
What? Then Miss Elsmer is...
Yeah. Gone. Cat, too. That cat was an emperor, all right. But it seems his kingdom was death.
Invitation to listen to the Household Finance Corporation program, The Whistler, each week over these stations. This is Ken Niles speaking for HFC, the Household Finance Corporation, and reminding you, never borrow unless you must. But if you have to borrow, do it the right way at HFC, Household Finance Corporation. Featured in tonight's story were Mary Lansing and Martha Wentworth. The Whistler is produced by George W. Allen, with story by Michael Sklar, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Home accidents can be prevented by eliminating physical hazards such as inadequate lighting, cluttered rooms, dangerous stairways, and so forth. Protect your family. Remember, accidents don't always happen to the other person. The Whistler is heard in Canada over the facilities of the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for the Relic Radio show for today. There's more old-time radio at relicradio.com and links to everything else Relic Radio, our Facebook page, forum, Shoutcast stream, everything Relic Radio is at relicradio.com, including our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the Relic Radio shows, I appreciate it very much. And thank you to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.